Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin in prayer. Almighty God, you have a Father's heart for us, expressing incomprehensible love through your Son. Redeeming love, compassionate love, self-giving love, perfect love, so that we could be with you in the kingdom of God. May our hearts come to know and experience this kind of love for you and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. May our hearts come to live out this Christ-like love for all people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love. We all want to be loved. Experience love, to have someone to love, but also someone love us. Love moves us to do things we don't think we can do. Love. Genuine, true love is very powerful. I'd like to share a little bit of this past week with you and all that has happened in my life, in my sibling's life. And it happened, and what we did came because we love our dad. We love him very much. So my older brother, Alan, he was in China, and he came back early. With serious jet lag, Alan still got up early on Friday morning and drove down from Michigan to be with my dad before his surgery. My younger brother, Terry, was in New York City. He drove 13 hours and dealt with all the traffic jams in New York because of the special visitor there at this time. Getting in at 2 a.m. on Friday morning, he still got up early to be with my dad before surgery on Friday afternoon. My sister lives in the area and changed her work schedule to be there. And I had been down with my dad several times these past few days. But there we are on Friday afternoon, the four of us sitting together, passing the time and waiting for updates on the surgery progressing. We love our dad. And we just had to be there. The four of us together. Yesterday afternoon, also taking turns to be with our dad as he's in the ICU and has limited visitors. He is coming along. He's healing, but it's a long journey after triple bypass surgery. So thank you for all the prayers you have been lifting for my dad. Much, much appreciated. Thank you. Love. Love moves us. In such a way, we just have to do things because of love. I speak to you, Christian. This is to be the normal, everyday way to live for you. Love. Not love as the world defines love. Love as God defines love and demonstrated love in the Son, Jesus Christ. The world's love is mislabeled. It's self-interest, selfishness, self-seeking gratification. They may call it love, but compare the Word of God to what the world calls love, and you will see a great disparity. For example, young men and teen boys may say, "I love you." But the truth is they want something from you, which is not love. Christian love is loving as Christ loved. And it is impossible to do without Christ first in your heart. The heart. That is where we began on this series of A Legacy. We began with loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And then the legacy of generosity and a legacy of a surrendered life. And what is in all these things and through all of them is love. Yes, love. As the Lord showed us how to love. Paul wrote the Philippians that being united with Christ is to bring about a Christ-like life inside of you. An attitude, a demeanor that looks each day more and more like Christ. Christian maturity is living life reflecting Christ. As Paul wrote, Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God, but became a servant, became human, and was obedient, even death on a cross. How much of our time, our day and age, is about my rights? Or I'm entitled, or me first, or you owe me. Is that Christ-like love? No, it is not. It resembles the one who is cast out of heaven more than it resembles Christ. Growing in Christian maturity is hard. Putting aside selfish ambition, vain conceit, and seeking humility, considering others better than yourself, looking to the interest of others, not just your own self-interest. No more of taking care of number one. Look to Christ. Look to the upper room where Christ showed the disciples. The disciples, they all took their seats, and no one was willing to wash the others' feet before the meal. Yet their master, their teacher, the living God, stooped and washed the disciples' dirty, smelling feet. A memory comes back to me, and it's very vivid. It comes from me the time I was serving a children's hospital. A mother was worn out and tired. They had a daughter. A mother's daughter, about 10, 11 years old, was in ICU after being hit by a car. Another daughter who came with mom had fallen asleep in the waiting area. Older siblings had come to the ER, but they were not permitted to come upstairs. It was at night. And that is a whole nother story, these siblings. And that story's for another time, but the encounter showed how broken the family really was. Now it's about 2 a.m. in the morning, and mom is ready to go home. She calls the sleeping daughter to wake up. Get up! Let's go! And half asleep, the girl puts her feet to the floor and struggles to get her shoes on. Mom's standing at the door. Come on, let's get going. She keeps calling, and I'm sitting there watching. The girl struggles with her shoelaces. Mom's standing at the door getting more impatient and frustrated. Somewhat understandable, another child's in ICU. I'm watching. And then my heart just pours out, and I get up, and I go over to the young girl. She's about 12 years old, and I get on my knees, and I pick up her shoes, and they weren't exactly pleasant, but I undid the laces and helped her get the shoes on. She had to straighten her socks that were not the shade of normal colored socks. They hadn't been cleaned for who knows how long, but just gently tying her shoes. Compassion. John chapter 13. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, did the disciples get along always and perfectly? No, they didn't. Remember the grumbling they all had amongst themselves when James and John asked to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus? Did all the apostles get along even after the coming of the Holy Spirit? Did they all get along perfectly and wonderfully? No, they didn't. Paul parted ways with Barnabas. Do you remember that? Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them. Paul was upset with John Mark because John Mark bailed out on a previous missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul says, no way. So there's a parting of the ways. Barnabas takes John Mark. We understand John Mark to be the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And then Paul took Silas with him. Just because we fall short, never let us stop reaching for what Christ has commanded. Love one another. As Jesus loved you, so you must love one another. Christian, do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? If you find it difficult to love your brother in Christ, if you find it difficult to love your sister in Christ, how can you find love for those who are without Christ? On the cover of your bulletin, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it's the second half of the verse. Love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another deeply from the heart. Here in the gathering of the body of Christ as the church, we learn to live and learn to love as Christ lived and as Christ loved. We learn Christ-like love in here by loving each other. And then from here, we go out into the world to love as Christ loved the broken and lost world. The lost and the forsaken sinners. We go out there and love as Christ loved. Look around. Go ahead, see who's sitting behind you right now. See who is taking notes and all these things. Wave to them if you like. Do you deeply love everyone you see here from the heart? Do you deeply love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you reached out to those you don't see here? Because you love them deeply from the heart and you miss seeing them? Christian, be determined in your heart and your soul to have as priority in life to love people. Embody that distinguishing mark of Christ. Years ago, I was sitting in a sandwich shop across the street from seminary. A fragile older man came walking in. He was disheveled and dirty. You could see he lived on a street a good portion of the time. And as he came in, walking slowly, others just watched him. Sitting at another table in the sandwich shop was a professor from the seminary, also seeing all that was going on. The fragile, disheveled, dirty man, he stumbled and he fell. Without hesitation, without even a moment to think or contemplate, the professor immediately moved. He jumped up and came to assistance for that old man. Compassion oozed out of the professor. moving others. Others were standing, just watching and stepping back. But we joined in and helped. It's not easy. It's not easy to love people. I struggle with loving people. You struggle with loving people. We don't love perfectly, but we must. We must obey Christ and love one another. The mark of mature faith, the mark of mature Christ-like faith is love, first and foremost. Loving God and loving others. Fail here and we miss what it means to be a follower of Christ. Now, the practical on how to do this. Begin with taking an active interest in the well-being of others. Seek the benefit of others. God loved us, not because of what we could give to God, because God wanted to give to us His Son to redeem us. God so loved, He gave. If you have a hard time loving, learn to love by giving generously. Generosity will teach you how to love. Be generous toward another without expecting anything in return. Give as God gave, and God gave because He loved so much. You can learn to live by forgiving another. Truly forgiving from the heart, you will experience love for that person. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it is written, God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did we deserve forgiveness? No. Did we need forgiveness? Yes. As you learn to forgive like the Lord forgave, you will learn to love like the Lord loves. Through forgiveness, forgiving another person, you can learn to love. Love and obeying the Word of God, they go hand in hand. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, which follows what we heard today from chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, said several times, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. Love and obey, those words are in Gospel of John, chapter 14, numerous times. Look to Christ. And consider how He lived. Look to Christ and see how obedient He was. Look to Christ and what He said. Obey my teachings. Obey my commands. Then consider the Ten Commandments. You say they're from the Old Testament. Well, Christ is fully God. And what's recorded in the Old Testament is words of Christ also. If you really love God, you will have no other gods before Him. If you really love God, you will not misuse His name. If you really love God, you will gladly come to worship to hear God's word preached. And now your attention turns to others. At the same time, loving God. If you really love God and love others, you will honor them, serve them, obey, love, and respect mom and dad, and others in authority. Straight from Luther's small catechism for the fourth commandment. If you really love your neighbor, you will not commit adultery with his wife. If you really loved your neighbor, you would not commit adultery with her husband. If you really loved others, you would not commit fornication. If you really love others, you will not steal from them. You will not lie about them. You will not covet what they have and try to take it. If you really love, you will not kill or harm in any way another person. Look at the world's conflicts, and you will see at the root is hate and a religion that is based on hate. Isn't love for others that one straps on a suicide vest? Far from it. It is hate for others. Christianity is love embodied, for Christ is the gift of God's love that redeems. Love. And so the beloved disciple John writes, 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The very presence of God here as we love each other, and the very presence of God in us as we love each other, and we go and love the world as Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit love the world, to redeem and bring forgiveness. It's not easy, but you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to love. Love deeply from the heart. Here first, love each other deeply from the heart. And then in the world, live out that Christ-like love and love deeply anyone you may meet. And I dream of. Amen. And amen.